This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last.
Okay, welcome to your pandemic.news update, recording this on February 20th. Give you the highlights of today, but be sure to check out new highlights each day at pandemic.news. That's now a hub where you can download the audio files, all these podcasts, you can download them as MP3s. Put them on your iPhone, the last one you'll ever get from China. Put them on your smartphone, put them on your computer, whatever. You can listen to the MP3s, you can click on the videos, you can check the articles. We've even got links to scientific articles there as well, plus updates from the Johns Hopkins Pandemic Tracking Center. So check all that out at pandemic.news. We'll be updating it several times each day, except the weekends, maybe only once a day on the weekends. Okay, the big highlight for today is that the CDC, or at least an official from the CDC, a new one, we haven't heard of this one before. She has a kind of an unusual last name. I didn't quite memorize it, but it's like Shoe Shock or something. Shoe Shot. It's Shoe something. Anyway, she was interviewed by CNBC. And she told CNBC that it's time for all U.S. hospitals to get ready for a, quote, surge in coronavirus patients in the United States. So CNBC reported that, quoted her, and then also CNBC itself warned that the coronavirus could lead to a sudden shortage of medical supplies. Kind of stating the obvious, right? It's like, really? No way. Yes. So CNBC is now stating the obvious. The New York Times is saying, or at least a New York Times reporter says, they don't trust Iran's numbers. They think Iran is involved in a cover-up. Iran has reported a couple of deaths. Some people on Twitter are claiming to be investigative journalists working in or near Iran. They say that Iran is covering up 20 deaths in a hospital there, but of course that hasn't been confirmed yet. We've also got the U.S. State Department going against the advice of the CDC, flying back hundreds of passengers, evacuees, Americans, from the ill-fated Diamond Princess cruise ship, and they flew these passengers back on a chartered jet, like a commercial-type jet, but a special charter. And they mixed in 13 or 14 infected patients on that jet, and they separated them with, it sounds like, plastic sheeting. So they had a containment section of the airplane where they had the 13 or 14 infected people, and then they had all the non-infected people in the rest of the airplane. Now, the CDC opposed this idea, but the U.S. State Department went ahead with it because, of course, when bureaucrats get involved in this, things go awry, as we saw on the Diamond Princess cruise ship itself, which turned out not to be a level 4 biohazard quarantine center, but rather a giant floating viral buffet, a viral social sharing extravaganza that floats on water. And so this airplane is the same thing. Did anybody at the U.S. State Department figure that the air on the airplane is circulated everywhere on the plane? That the air is not segmented? And you know how we know this? Because I'm old enough to have flown when people could smoke in the back of the plane. Remember that? Remember when there was smoking on airplanes? Yeah, those were some really crazy days, right? And people would sit in the back and they would light up and smoke. Especially on international flights, it was the worst. Man, you get all these, I would fly to Asia, you know, because I lived in Taiwan for a while. You get these, because people smoke like crazy in Asia, especially men, whether they're Taiwanese or Chinese or Korean or Japanese. It seems like literally 50% of them smoke. And they would just light up. No matter where you were on that plane, you would smell that smoke. You'd be coughing with it. So this idea that, oh, we can quarantine passengers in the back of the plane because they have coronavirus, it's about as silly as thinking that the cigarette smoke is going to stay in the last five rows. It doesn't stay back there, folks, because the air is circulated throughout the airplane. So we now have, well, hundreds of evacuees coming back to the United States who just shared the air on an airplane with a bunch of infected people. Now, the CDC, though, is putting them all of them, into a 14-day quarantine, which we know isn't enough since there's a 24-day incubation period in a certain number of patients. Maybe 1 or 2% of patients have up to 24 days. But it only takes one or two, you know, escaping the quarantine or being released too early. And then you have another outbreak on your hands. What are you going to do then? You're going to spread a plastic sheet across a city? Say, everybody in that city, you're in the smoking section now. Try not to share air with the rest of the country. But I have a question from this. So as we see more and more people going into quarantine, right? We've had the CDC pushing quarantine centers in Omaha, Nebraska, and San Antonio, Texas, and what is it, the March Air Force Base or Air National Guard Base, I think, in California, and maybe a couple other places. A reasonable question here. How many beds do those places have? I mean, not just beds, but isolated rooms. Because if you quarantine people together in a group, it doesn't really count as a quarantine. They learned that on the Diamond Princess. Huh, there's cross-infections happening. We've infected 20% of all the passengers. How did that happen? Because they weren't really isolated from each other. That's how that happened. And they were sharing the same air. So if you have quarantine centers in the USA, how many actual isolation rooms do we have in the country? Because I dare say that number is probably very small compared to the total population. And it wouldn't take much in terms of infections to overwhelm that system. And what do you do when you run out of rooms? Do you do what China does? You build like an overnight hospital, like 7 days. We built a hospital. And then a week later, it starts falling apart. Or you just have like a stadium with a bunch of cots on the floor, no isolation at all, and you just call it a hospital. That'll work. That's an awesome idea. And everybody's just getting sick there anyway, so it's really just a quarantine camp, so to speak. It's like one day in the future, you may or may not walk out of here. If you do, you're cured. That's our treatment system. It's called survival of the fittest. They should call it the Darwin Hospital or something. Natural selection at work. I mean, who needs surgeons when you've got the possibility of survival? But that's China. Is that going to happen in America? Are they going to try to turn some hotel into a quarantine center? Like, here, we're going to check y'all into the, what's a hotel? Like the Motel 8 or whatever is out there. Check you into the Motel 8. And we're going to put up some plastic sheeting over the door of your room. And, just call it a quarantine center. That's no better than the floating quarantine smorgasbord called the Diamond Princess, is it? But whatever, I guess once bureaucrats get involved, all the real science just goes out the window, along with the coronavirus. So here we are observing all this. We now see, well, Iran is probably covering things up. Indonesia just says, we're not reporting anything. We've got the state of Washington today. I checked their website. They still have only 26 tests that they've conducted, even though they now have 779 high-risk, possibly infected people that they are watching. And they had tested up to 25 people yesterday. Today, the number has increased by one. So somehow, the entire state of Washington has managed to conduct a single test in 24 hours while they're, quote, observing 779 people. And just yesterday or the day before, I think that was only 712, if I remember correctly. So what is Washington State doing then exactly? Why aren't they testing these 779 people? No one knows the answer to that. But at least they're producing numbers, whereas the state of Florida just said, we're not even going to tell you how many we're testing. We're just not even going to produce any numbers at all. You see that? The state surgeon general there in Florida was testifying before the state Senate. His name is Riv Keys, I think, if I remember. Riv Keys. It's always some interesting names with these folks. And Riv Keys says, we're not going to tell you how many people we're testing. And then one of the state senators in Florida said, what do you mean you're not going to tell us? And Riv Keys says, well, we don't want to violate patient privacy by giving you numbers that have nothing to do with patient privacy. And the state senator said, Mr. Rivkees, when we had the Zika virus scare of a few years ago, which was totally fabricated, by the way, when we had that, you guys published numbers every day to tell us how many tests were being done, right? And Rivkeys replied and said, yeah, but that's because Zika was airborne. And when I read that, my jaw hit my keyboard almost. And I thought, seriously, is Rivkeys, is he the only person in the world that doesn't know this spreads through the air? Because I'm pretty sure even the North Koreans have that figured out. They put out a video that talks about it spreading through the air. You know, don't sneeze on people in North Korea. There was like actually a very instructional North Korean video that's turned out to be more accurate than anything out of the New York Times so far. They're teaching people how to wash their hands and wear a mask and don't sneeze on your buddies. But Mr. Rivkeys in Florida, he hasn't yet caught up to North Korea's level of sophistication when it comes to epidemiology, which is an astonishing realization. And then you've got Hawaii, which why do I bother? Hawaii is totally covering up for its tourism industry, doesn't want to mention anything about any virus. So last we heard from Hawaii, they just are telling people who might be infected, don't worry, just call us if you begin to show symptoms. Just go on about your business. It's like, okay, well, I was going to go to a movie theater, and I was going to go play miniature golf with a bunch of people, and I was going to have a buffet and then a wedding party. Is all that okay? And the state of Hawaii would say, yeah, that's great. Enjoy Hawaii. go ahead, socialize. And just call us if you start coughing up blood or something, and we'll deal with it then. So this is the new, can you even call it public health? These are public suicide policies, if you ask me, public suicide. It's like all over the country now, it seems. And we're hearing rumors about upstate New York and places like that. And it's just that the state officials are just saying, well, everybody's fine unless they show symptoms. Where, of course, they should know that this spreads during the asymptomatic period, right? The incubation period, which on average might only be 4 or 5 days. I don't know the exact number, but it can be 24 days. So how is this going to stop the virus when the transmissivity may be an R-naught value of as much as 6.6, according to some studies? It's probably closer to 4 or something in that range. I know it keeps bouncing around, but how are you supposed to stop this thing when it's easy to spread to others? And you're telling people that, yeah, you're fine. Just keep doing your tourism thing. Keep spending tourism money. It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. So, but then again, we are expecting others to act rationally in a world that's full of irrational people. So maybe we are irrational for expecting rationality out of others. Perhaps. In other words, maybe we're crazy for thinking other people are not crazy. That's the craziest thing in the world, is to expect a bureaucrat to tell the truth or a public health official to know anything about virology, I suppose. Because I don't know, are they appointed to these positions? Do they not go through basic biology? I thought I learned most of this stuff in high school, and yet here we are where officials don't even know the basics. So that's pretty crazy. All right. Finally, just to wrap this up, I want to bring it back around to what the CDC has said. If you recall last week, Dr. Meissonier from the CDC, she came out and said, yeah, we're expecting outbreaks, or what she said, community outbreaks in the United States. By the way, I love how they put that word community in there. Does that make it sound smaller? Like if I said, are there going to be outbreaks in America? Is that alarmist? But if you say, no, wait, there are going to be community outbreaks in America, is that now more palatable? Sounds less scary? Community outbreaks. It's only going to be in your community. How do you contain an outbreak to a community? You don't, because you have mobility. So any community outbreak becomes just an outbreak. I don't know what the difference is. An outbreak implies community. It wouldn't be an outbreak if there weren't other people catching it, which implies there's a community of people with the infection, i.e. every outbreak is a community outbreak. But then again, maybe we're crazy for expecting other people to be sane in their choice of words and language, or even just logic and reason. Nevertheless, Dr. Meissonier says there are going to be community outbreaks. And then Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, followed up about 2 days later with a CNN interview, and he said, yep, we're expecting community outbreaks. Notice he didn't say that Dr. Meissonier has no clue what she's talking about. She's a fearmonger. We got this under control. There will be zero infections in America. That is not what Dr. Redfield said. He said, basically, yeah, Meissonier is pretty much right about this. We're going to have community outbreaks. We're expecting them. And then today, as I open this up with, this Dr. Shushok or whatever her name is, she says, every U.S. hospital needs to get ready for a surge in coronavirus infections. She used the word surge. That's not me paraphrasing her. She used the word surge. And so it really underscores what I think is happening here. And I've said this before. I believe, this is my assessment, can't prove it yet, but I think the CDC knows that there are hundreds of infections in America, that they're going to continue to spread, i.e. community outbreaks, and that the hospitals better get ready, and the CDC is delicately trying to slowly warm the U.S. population to the possibility of a hint of an idea that maybe it might spread in America. Because apparently no one can handle the truth anymore. Right? In America, no one can handle the truth. It's like, hey, why are those boys being allowed into the girls' restrooms in high school? You're not allowed to say that because you're supposed to pretend, you know, the transgenderism thing. No one can handle the truth anymore. Oh, it's offensive. You're triggered by the truth. So even the CDC, I think, is in the same boat. Can't tell people the truth. Like, yeah, we're going to run out of quarantine beds and we're going to run out of hospital beds. And we're warning the hospitals to get ready because this thing is going to eventually explode somewhere in America. In American cities like Los Angeles, where you have a bunch of illegals bringing who knows what diseases across the border, you can't say any of that stuff in America without being banned, i.e., I've already been banned everywhere, so it doesn't matter what I say now. But the CDC can't say that. So they have to gently massage the idea into your temples with some sandalwood oil. Gently, you are feeling peaceful and calm, and there might one day be community outbreaks that are polite in America, and we'll all have nice, polite gloves and gowns and caps and face shields, and we'll have extra beds for you, and we'll all be very pretty and polite. Like, this is the kind of approach that the CDC is taking versus the Health Ranger approach is like, yeah, get ready for a pandemic. But whatever, you know. The CDC has their way of doing things. I just find it fascinating that they have apparently come to, well, the same conclusion, just a different way of talking about it. So get ready, folks. The CDC is essentially saying the same thing that I'm saying, but just in a nicer tone. They know what's coming, and it is going to be probably visiting a community near you. So get ready and keep reading pandemic.news. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, helping you get prepared. We'll have solutions. We'll have nutritional strategies for you there. We'll have, remember, most people survive this. You can survive it too. We've calculated the estimated odds of surviving this 99 out of 100 if you use good nutrition. So you don't have to freak out about the virus. Just have to be concerned about other people who are not informed and not prepared. So keep reading pandemic.news and thank you for listening.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com slash
Prep with Mike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger Store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.